Welcome to the Razor's Ink podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. 50 years ago, over 90% of the primetime viewing audience was tuning into one of just three networks. By one measure, that number is now a paltry 32%. There's no denying that the major TV network's market share has declined, but what's the fix? Pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, Dr. Jonathan is in with a prescription, and it's not more cowbell. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
I have a love affair with the institution of network television. I said institution because I haven't enjoyed network programming in decades. In fact, when I land on one of the networks, the programming is so bad, I immediately change the channel as if I accidentally wandered into a virology lab without a hazmat suit and run for the exit. When I was a kid in the 60s and a teenager in the 70s, there were three networks to entertain us. We received television from rooftop antennas and rabbit ears connected to television sets. Early television was black and white, but color came into vogue in the mid-60s. The three networks were fiercely competitive with each other, resulting in groundbreaking storytelling and opportunities in the early days for old movie actors to have comfortable careers in television while creating opportunities for young, ingenious writers, directors, and new acting talent to build a beautiful medium called network television. The business model of network television is to create brand loyalty, keep viewers' eyes glued to the set, and coming back, creating ratings and selling advertising time. The television networks include
NBC, CBS.
This is an ABC color presentation.
It pains me to find network television is in critical condition. It's experiencing a decline in viewership due to the rise of streaming services, cable channels, and online content. There's more competition for eyeballs. The networks couldn't control the competitive playing field, but they do have control over their content. And I blame the networks for relying upon dusty old programming formulas. I'm referring to entertainment, not sports and news divisions in this podcast. Television invented the Western series.
Gunsmoke, starring James Arness as Matt Dillon.
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving hard. Don't try.
Think Gunsmoke, The Big Valley, and Rawhide. When a premium channel recently dusted off the Western series concept, they found a hungry new audience for Westerns and ate the network's lunch.
You've won, Jamie. The kingdom is yours.
This season on Yellowstone.
Their only option is to sacrifice the ranch.
It pained me to watch. Network television is spinning around a hamster wheel, rehashing the same old formula television series I grew up with, thinking they'll pull the wool over the younger viewers' eyes, and appeal to them with more sex, sizzle, special effects, and yes, more diverse casting. It's simply repackaged detective cop family comedies, first responders, doctors, and lawyers programming I grew up watching, but not as good. That flat line sound from the cardiac monitor you're hearing is network television dying. So let's put on our surgical gloves and intervene with some out-of-the-box thinking to attempt to save network television before it dies. My solution is a tried-and-true programming concept invented by and still employed by the television networks since the 50s. Growing up in the 60s and 70s, daytime network television consisted of game shows and soap operas. Today, game shows have profitably moved to evenings and are flourishing because the majority of the television viewing audience is home at night. Soap operas, or the soaps, remain relegated to weekday time slots. Hey, network programmers, haven't you gotten the memo? The majority of your audience isn't at home weekdays. It takes two paychecks or more to make ends meet, so everybody is at work or at school. Soaps were named after advertisements for soap and created for stay-at-home moms in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. As a kid and teenager during summer break or when ditching school, I watched a few of them and got hooked on one or two. Who wouldn't appreciate Susan Lucci playing Erica Kane in All My Children between 1970 and 2011?
Broken promises. That's what my life is really all about. I love you, Erica. I'll never leave you, Erica. You're daddy's good little girl, Erica. Well, daddy didn't give a damn. And neither does Dimitri. And neither do any of you. None of you in this room, you're nothing but a bunch of fakes. Phonies. Pretending to love me. Every one of you has let me down. All of you, everyone!
Over 41 years, Erica Kane was every husband's wet dream and every wife's threat. Soaps create a brand loyalty in the form of consistent weekday viewing, Monday through Friday for a half an hour. Before home VCRs, miss an episode and you're out of touch. At their peak, as many as 18 soaps aired each day. Soaps were an economic engine to Hollywood. To maintain a daily schedule, soap operas have a rapid production cycle with ongoing storylines with multiple episodes taped each day. Jobs, people. Longest-running soaps include The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful on CBS. General Hospital airs on ABC. It's the longest-running American soap opera and scripted drama in production. Days of Our Lives moved from NBC to their Peacock subsidiary in 2022. The last time a network debuted a new soap opera was Passions.
This December on Passions, an old man holds the key to a respected doctor's past.
If you tell what you know, I'll lose my husband and everything I care about. I'd rather see you dead.
He's rich and powerful and on the verge of losing everything.
Damn. Stop snooping in things that are none of your business. You are going to regret this.
A search for a missing man.
My father ran out on me and the rest of my family years ago.
Leads to a shocking discovery.
You are my father.
On NBC 25 years ago, Passions ran for 9 seasons and ended in 2008. Did you miss a clue here, network programmers? CBS is developing a new daytime soap called The Gates, which will follow a wealthy black family.
Here we are.
A new dawn.
Welcome to Fairmont Crest.
This will be CBS's first black daytime soap opera in 35 years. Brand loyalty, eyeballs, and ratings are right under your eyes, network programming executives. Move the soap concept, just as it appears daily, to evenings. CBS, what the hell are you thinking? The Gates belongs in prime time. You'll get ratings, ad buys, and satisfy the thirst for diversity. Follow my advice, or somebody else will eat your lunch like the Westerns. More to follow. If you're scoffing at soaps, consider the following. Partial list of famous actors who got their start on soap operas. Julianne Moore, Demi Moore, Brad Pitt.
Well, how'd the Lancers do this year?
Oh, we got killed. Same as every year.
Are you kidding? We used to be number one in the state.
Woodrow Wilson hasn't had a winning team since my old man was here.
Kevin Bacon, Marissa Tomei, Meg Ryan, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Now, you could score a lot of points if you told my father you caught me drinking. Especially if you said you were worried about me. Because they're worried about me, my father and Sophia. They think I'm in danger of being clinically depressed. Do you know what that means?
No.
Cass, my lass?
No.
My real mother would know. But she's been depressed since my father kicked her out and refused to let her see me.
Susan Sarandon, Lawrence Fishburne, Alec Baldwin, Mark Hamill, Morgan Freeman.
Now,
what?
Well, these second-floor revisions, all these new bedrooms.
That came from Ilsa. I suppose they're expecting a lot of out-of-town patrons.
Maybe. I wonder. Didn't Ilsa used to run an escort service?
Tommy Lee Jones, to name a few. In addition to actors, many a television and film writer, director, cinematographer, makeup person, sound, lighting, costume, and set designer got their start on soaps and enjoyed long careers. Network television invented the soap opera, but the novellas are eating your lunch on Spanish language networks and premium networks.
Y es la mujer que tiene a mi hijo. No te vas a acercar a mi familia, y mucho menos contando que alquilamos tu vientre.
No tengo miedo. Nadie toca a mi bebé.
Kitty Jenny. Chuaman kimbulak nigma saco aninal. Chuaquilaguanqui anima.
Novela is a combination of tele, meaning television, and novella, or novel. Much like American soap operas, the shows proceed with ever-unfolding melodramatic twists. Episodes air 5 or 6 nights a week. These Spanish-language shows range in genre from Mexico drug cartels to rags-to-riches love stories. It's just a matter of time for novellas to become English-speaking and move into prime time. My RX for the television networks is to quickly roll out your time-tested soaps programming to evening, where eyeballs are plentiful and ad dollars the greatest. The soaps are a proven commodity since the 50s, employ talent, keep production facilities humming, and provide a training ground for talent in front of and behind the camera. I love you, network television, and hope you stick around long enough to lure me back. I detest cable services, monthly subscriptions, and gadgets inserted into my television. The FCC requires network television to be offered free, and we can all watch with a simple antenna. We're so distracted by social media and pulled in so many different directions, I believe, network executives, the audience is ready to sit down 5 nights a week and watch a story unfold weekly from season to season. We're desperate for family of all races, genders, and sexual identities. A gathering around a campfire, so to speak. And the soap formula will provide the fix. A 5-night-a-week gathering may also just be the fix for our societal woes, or at least permit us to explore them together. Remember All in the Family, a trailblazing social commentary and comedy series introduced by CBS in the 70s? You owe me one, networks. Call me for my routing and account number. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint, and class is dismissed.
And my routing number, ready? C-A-S-H. Thank you. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including his Stories of Sardinia, one of several works by Jonathan recently published by Mystery Tribune. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with 2 R's, 1 N. Or drop an email to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com.